to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to read Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And the Amplified says, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light, their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. You know, if something is entering, that means there's something that you had to do on your part. The entrance means you allowed something to come in. It entered in. And then once it enters in, then there's an unfolding and a revealing by who? The Holy Ghost. And so we also know that not only is there an entrance in, but there's a doing of that which enters in. And I read this on Sunday. I'd like you to turn there in Proverbs chapter 4. I like this particular scripture. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And I'll just read the Message Bible. It says, the ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. I like that. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. And that means what? That you're not just a hearer of the word, but you're a doer. That which you are doing is being revealed and unfolded to you and perfected in you. So as we walk, again, down the path that God has ordained for us, he's going to give us light. And that light is all we need to know at that point on the path. We don't need to know the light that needs to be revealed 4 years from now. I just need to know what I need to know right now. And that's it. And that's all I'm going to be held accountable for. So that's why it's important that we don't judge one another, because I don't know what you know. Only God does. And he's given us his word. And I believe over in Deuteronomy 29, is it 29, 29, I believe it says that those things that the Lord reveals to us are ours, and those things that are secret are his. And it's none of our business. So what God reveals to us, only he knows, because he's the one who revealed it. And so you walk in that. And that's why we're all at different levels. So that's why we can't go, what's wrong with them? Why aren't they doing that? Because you don't know what they know. You don't know what they see. And so we're to pray for one another and to love one another. Amen. And we're to take steps of faith. I was looking up that particular scripture in Romans. I'll just read it to you. In Romans chapter 4, it says, in talking about Abraham, and it says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham. See, we didn't say the step, it said the steps. And so as we walk this walk, we're going to take steps of faith. Steps of faith. Some of us are trying to get the whole thing. You know, we got this Big Mac mentality. I did the whole thing all in one gulp. Right? It doesn't work that way. You're going to take steps, little bites, little steps, and God's going to unfold and reveal as you do the word. You're going to take a little step, you're going to work on it, and then he's going to reveal. It's going to be perfected in you, and then you take a little step. and then eventually you're going to get to where you want to go. But some of us are trying to get to the other side in one big step, and sometimes there are failures, faith failures, because we're not taking steps of faith. We're not walking in, we're trying to walk in what somebody else did. You see, well, so-and-so did that, I'm going to do that. No. You walk in what God has revealed to you, not what somebody else is doing. Now, if what somebody else is doing is a witness and you're led to do that, that's a different story. But sometimes we're just running off and doing things because somebody else is doing it. And we're not supposed to do that. Now, let me just share. I know Deacon Alice shared this as she was up here. Say this with me. This is the title for tonight's message.
But if you're visiting through the internet,
it's the Father's
and watch this.
We invite you to open your Bibles
and
read along.
And what the Holy Spirit had shared with me when I was
verse 16, and I'm going to read 17, 18, and
19 from the King James Version.
Have a purpose.
All of God's actions have a purpose,
or we could say God's actions have a purpose. And of course, we went through and looked at that. I shared some things, which I'll share again from Psalm 119:89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." His word is settled. And then, of course, in Matthew 24:35, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And I like the God's word translation. It says, "The earth and the heavens will disappear, but my words will never disappear." So he is forever settled. His word is settled. And I wrote this down. He is eternal. His words are eternal. His purposes are eternal. And his purposes have eternal consequences or value. So God's purposes have eternal consequences. Well, we know that. You believed in Jesus, you accepted him as your Lord, that was an eternal consequence. And those that don't, there's an eternal consequence. You're going to go to hell. And so we read that in John 3:17. It said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's the Father's purpose. And there's a consequence to that. You get eternal life. And so his purposes are eternal. And of course, I'm not going to go through, but there were some scriptures that I wanted to focus on this evening. I wanted to just go back on this one particular point that I highlighted in the past message. Luke 8:11 says, "The seed," it's talking about the parable of the sower, "the seed is the word of God." The seed is the word of God. Well, then, if that's the case, and we know that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the seed has potential or purpose in it. And I said, anybody who's ever planted a flower seed or a corn seed or some kind of seed, it has what in it? It has a potential in it to bloom and to grow and to grow into something. It has a potential in it. So God's Word has purpose in it. God's Word has potential in it. And he's impregnated that with himself. And in his Word, of course, we notice his Word is eternal. And it has eternal purpose in it. His Word does. And the seed, the Word of God, is his will and purpose. So God's seed is his purpose and his will. And the seed is light. The seed is light. So when we walk in the light, we're walking in his purpose and His will. When we don't walk in it, we're walking in darkness. So as we walk in the seed planted and revealed in us or to us, we will be walking in His purpose. As we walk in that which is planted and revealed to you, you're walking in His will and His purpose. And of course, the scriptures that I highlighted the last time, of course, we're familiar with this. Being born again, not of incorruptible, or not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then, of course, 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." And so when we keep something, we're attending to it. We're doing it. We're taking care. We're guarding it. We're observing it. Now, I want you to turn over. I'm going to spend a few moments here in Ephesians. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians for a few moments and look at Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to highlight some things here. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Starting verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen in chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world," thank God, "that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom," this is verse 11, "in whom," in Christ, "we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him," see, "who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Now, let me read this in the Message Bible, verse 11. Because when you begin to get the seed and you continue to plant it and water it and walk down this path, you begin to see clearer and clearer and clearer God's purpose for you and for the body of Christ, because you're a member of the body of Christ. I like this. This is the Message Bible. Those that have it, you'll see it. Ephesians 1 and verse 11. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. That's as clear as you can get. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. There it is. So he purposed, it's his purpose that is being revealed and unfolded to us through his word and by his spirit. So as we get God's word, his will, his purpose is in his word. It's impregnated with it. And as we get it in us, we begin to fulfill what's been predestinated for us. And that's the reason why, for me, it answers a lot of questions when folks are bumping around saved and unsaved, bumping around saying, I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm not sure. I don't know. Get in the Word. Walk in the light. Get the Word of God in your spirit and meditate in it, and His purpose will be unfolded and revealed. And as the Message translation says, we're going to find out who we are in Christ. You're going to find out as you grow, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You're going to become more aware of his presence in you. And you're going to know who you are in Christ, and then next, what we're living for. I'm not just living for me. It's no longer I that liveth, but he lives in me. And it's his purpose that I should be fulfilling, not my purpose and my will. So as we begin to feed and meditate and walk in the Word of God, then His will is unfolded and revealed and perfected in us. It's perfected in us. And it becomes a solid rock. That's why when you go over and you read in the Gospels about that man that dug down and built his foundation on the rock, the floods came, the winds came, and beat against that house, and nothing fell. Couldn't make it fall. See, because that man was doing what? He did what he heard. He was a doer. And also, what does it say? The person that just built his house on the sand was the same as what? One that heard the word, didn't do anything, and the winds came and blew, and great was that fall. Why? Because he didn't know who he was, and didn't know his purpose. Didn't know God's purpose. And so as we grow, as we mature, we're going to know as we walk down this path, it's going to become brighter and brighter and brighter, not dimmer and dimmer, not boom, boom. Where am I going? I don't know where I'm going. No, I'm just bumping around on the path. No, you're going to see clearly who you are and what your purpose is, what you're living for. See? And usually you'll find in every one of our lives, every single one of us, if you be honest, and you find and you look and go, I'm going through a low spot. Why? See, now I'm not saying that you're not going to come under attack and you're going to go through some tests. We all are. But we should come out stronger. We should come out better, not weaker, not beat up. If we're going to go through a test and a trial, and we all will, we're going to come out stronger because we fed on God's word as we're going through that test and that trial, and we're going to feed and keep our eyes on Him, and we're going to meditate, and He's going to reveal how to walk through it. So when we get on the other side, we're going to be stronger. See? Now, let's go to, I think there was another scripture here I wanted to look at. Yeah, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I heard this in my spirit this morning as I was getting up, and I had to think about it a bit. But I heard this. God said, the Holy Spirit said, God's purpose was commissioned and consummated in Christ. God's purpose was commissioned and consummated in Christ. And, you know, I had to say, okay, let me look that up and see. Because, you know, you hear something in your spirit, you go, okay, let me look at that and think about that. But if you think about it, just look up the word commissioned. That's what I did. I went and looked it up. It says authority to act for, in behalf of, or in place of another, an authorization or command to act in a prescribed manner or to perform prescribed acts. That's what Jesus did. He acted in the behalf of the Father, not on himself. He was commissioned. And it was consummated, meaning he finished it. He completed it. He finalized it. So, God commissioned Jesus, and his purpose was commissioned and consummated in Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, and starting in verse 9. This is a wonderful scripture. I'm going to read 9, 10, and 11. And it says, and to, let me just see here. Let me back up here to verse 7. This is Paul. It says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9. And to make all men see. See, this is his purpose. God's purpose for him. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent. Now I want you to just keep that word in your mind for a moment. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was his eternal purpose. Now, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, this is Paul, in verse 9, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Now listen to this. Verse 10. God's purpose. Now, see, let me back up a second. Because I had to stop today on looking up that word intent. If you look up the word intent, it means purpose. What's your intent? That's my purpose. See, sometimes we read right over words and miss it. I did. And I'm just glossing over. And I went, oh, wait a minute. Intent means purpose. And it means, you could say, objective or goal, his purpose. So it says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church. Oh, boy. This is the New Living Translation. Verse 10, I'm going to read it again. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. You have a purpose. And don't tell me, because now don't tell me you don't know. I just read it to you. You're accountable. Now listen to verse 11. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's eternal plan, his purpose, was to reconcile mankind. They become the body of Christ, and it's his purpose and his plan to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Oh yeah. You are somebody going somewhere to happen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you've got an anointing in you. You've been given the name of Jesus. And so that's his purpose. He already defeated the devil. But what he's saying is he wants it displayed through the body of Christ. Not like the Good News Translation in verse 11, it says, God did this according to his eternal purpose, which he achieved. That's the same thing. Which he achieved through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I'm going to pick up here a second. Go over to 1 Corinthians, if you would. We can begin to see here that God has a purpose for the church. And you're a part of the church if you're saved. And that's to display his wisdom. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want us to... I'm going to read chapter 2 because I think it's worth reading here in the light of what we're sharing here. And before I do that, there's a scripture that keeps kind of coming up in my thinking here for a second. The Lord is reminding me here to just share this particular scripture. Yeah. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this. This is John chapter 6. I'll just read it. John chapter 6 and verse 30, starting in verse 38. This is Jesus speaking. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. We ought to have the same mind. We're here not to do our own will, but the will of him that has saved us, the one that we report to. And that ought to be our heart. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That just means of full age. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, unto whose glory our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But now, let's look at these next few verses. But, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So his purpose is revealed to us, and his will is revealed to us. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. If you look that word up, it means a particular mode of thinking and judging. That means thoughts, feelings, purposes, and desires. We have been given the thoughts, feelings, purposes, and desires of God in Christ. And it's been revealed to us by the Spirit of God. So as we feed upon God's Word, the Spirit of God will unfold and reveal His thoughts, His intentions, His purposes, and His desires. And of course, we know that's true. It was revealed in Jesus through His entire ministry. The compassion of God, the love of God was revealed. The Father's intentions were revealed through Him. Right? Amen. It's quiet in here. Either you're thinking or you're asleep, one or the other. And I see your eyes, so you can't be sleeping. So that means you're thinking. It's either one or the other. So I choose to say it's thinking. Amen? So we can see here that God's purposes and His intents are revealed in His Word. It's in His Word. It's impregnated in His Word. He breathed it. And so His purposes and His intents are breathed into that Word. That is in the seed of the Word of God. And you know, when I think about this, I was sharing this Sunday, I may have shared it here, that when I was working in corporate America, you know, had a team of people that worked for me. And this one particular fellow, you know, I wasn't saved. Well, yes, I was saved then. But They used to have a lot of fun at my expense. I'll just put it that way. Because they knew who I stood for. I didn't preach on the man's dime either. I wasn't there preaching, but they knew what I stood for. But years later, he called. He left this particular job and went somewhere else. And he called and he said, "Hey, Ed, I'm like you now." And I'm like, "Hello? Yes?" So I didn't know what was going to come next. And so, you know, he kind of went on a little bit. And then he said, no, I'm like you. I'm saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost." And I said, "All right." So we had a nice chat. But one of the things that I'll always remember about James was that he said to me, he said, "Ed," he said, "when I got saved," he said, "it was like somebody lifted a veil from my eyes," and he said, "I knew what my purpose was." And I thought, whoa, okay. It always stuck with me. So when I read these scriptures, when we read in Ephesians chapter 1, when we read here that it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for, His purpose is impregnated in eternal life. And so that eternal life, the minute we have eternal life, the light bulb goes on. The light is there. We are walking in the light. We begin to see light. See? Now that's why when you have, and of course I didn't put it in my notes, but it's coming to my thinking here about those who had the talents. See, they saw something. And the one decided to bury it, and the others began to do something with it. See, the minute you begin to see, the minute you begin to understand, well, this is what I'm on this earth to do, and you don't walk in it, you bury it, you're not going to get any more light. You're going to stay parked right here. And you're not going to grow. And you could sit in this church for 25 years and not grow. You could come to every meeting, write every note, shout hallelujah, dance and boogie and all of that, and walk out of here and never grow because you saw some light as to what you were supposed to do and you're not walking in it. That goes for me, goes for you. If we know what we're supposed to do, if the shade goes up and you see it and you're not walking in it, you're not growing. And God's not going to give us any more light until we walk in His purpose and plan for us. And that can go for a church corporately. See? It can apply personally, but also if the master reveals to the pastor, "This is the direction for this church." And we go, "Oh no, that's too hard. We can't do that." And we decide not to walk in it. That church will never grow. It'll never walk in its full potential. And that can apply there too also. So we as, and Pastor Clinton used to allude to that, you know, when he would share about the unity of the body of Christ, that there are churches that are called to do a specific thing. Every church is not called to do that. God places in the body, not only individually, but corporately, He places in the body and raises them up to do a certain task. Besides preach the gospel. But He may have an anointing on them and a grace upon that ministry to do something. And if they don't walk in it, they're going to be in darkness. They're not going to be blessed. They're not going to grow and really realize the blessings that could be. So as we see, this is the point, as we see what God's purpose is for us. See, now there's another scripture when I think about the word intense. I'll just read it to you. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And if you read that in the BBE or the Bible in Basic English, it'll say purposes. It says, "For the word of God is living and full of power and is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through and making a division, even of the soul and spirit, the bones and the muscles, and quick to see the thoughts and purposes of the heart." So God's word will reveal our own intents and purposes, but it'll also show you what his purpose is for you and his will. He'll reveal that to us. So as we feed upon God's word, we're going to have more light, and we're going to become not swayed by what his plan and purpose is, what his will is. We won't be swayed. Now, as we just close for a minute, I may pick up on this on Sunday. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. And I'll just read this and close with this. Maybe a jumping off point on Sunday. Acts chapter 1. It says, "And being assembled together with them..." Do I want that? Yeah. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart for Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria, Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And you can see here that his promise is part of his purpose. That his promise was not only to redeem us, but to endue us with power to go forth and to preach the gospel and minister the gospel, lay hands on the sick. That was part of his purpose. So he has these promises. And of course, we're familiar with Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so God's purpose was to redeem mankind, and we were part of that purpose, to redeem mankind and to save us. We have a purpose to reach the lost and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's an eternal purpose and promise. I'm going to end here and just unhook, because it's nine, a little after nine. And anybody have any thoughts about... It's real quiet in here tonight. I can hear a pin drop. Or I'll just leave it that way. I was going to say I can hear snoring. No, I can't. If you hear snoring, bump your neighbor. But if there's any thoughts, if anybody has any thoughts or comments, or sometimes just put it on the shelf and feed on it, or if it's too simple, that's good. Because sometimes simple is better. But one of the things that is becoming clear to me is that the more that we feed upon God's Word, the more that we put it inside, His purpose is light. And as we walk in the light, we're walking in His purpose. And His purpose is in His Word. And His purpose is light. So if we don't walk in His purpose, we're walking in sin. We're walking in darkness. See, because if Jesus didn't walk in the Father's will, He'd have been in sin. And so when we don't walk in God's purpose, so will we. And that goes for me too, because if God has a plan and a purpose and I don't walk in it, see, I have to walk in it by faith. And if God reveals to me, if He reveals to me and says, this is for you, and I say, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that, then if I see it and I choose not to walk in it, then I'm not walking in faith. And that which is not of faith is sin. See, so if I see something that God has called me to do, and He says, walk in this. Now, let me qualify this. If He shows you something, it could be for a time that hasn't happened yet. See? So I'm saying if He says, take a step, and you don't take a step, that's a different story. See? If He says, move and go in this direction, and you choose not to, then that's walking in darkness. That's not walking in faith. So if God will reveal His purpose to us, and His purpose is something that, since God is light, then His purpose for us is light. And when we don't walk in it, when it's been revealed to us, then we're not walking in faith, and that's sin. Not just, His purpose is His will. It's revealed here. And when we don't walk in that, it's the same deal. You see? So,